Hello, David James Young here for another week of All My Friends Are in Bar Bands. How you doing? Hope life is treating you well. Thanks so much for tuning in and checking this out. All right, we're getting towards the end of the year. We only have a handful of episodes left before we are Dunskies for 2017. It's all gone by so quickly. It's wild. We had the ARIA Awards this week. Massive congratulations to previous guests and obvious lifetime friends of the show that picked up some gongs there. Amy Shark, Gang of Youths, North Lane, Friends Will Romp. I'm kidding. Friends Will Romp once again did not win an ARIA. Fucking love you guys. This week we have a chat with Alex Leahy. Alex Leahy is one of the top rising stars of Australian rock music right now. You would, if you don't know the name, you probably at least know a handful of her songs that have been doing the rounds on radio and absolutely crushing it. She released her debut album a couple of months ago called I Love You Like a Brother. Of course, that's out now. You should definitely check it out if you haven't already. And we spoke to Alex just at the top end of her national tour, which happened back at the start of October. I've known Alex for just over a year. She's a super talented, super wonderful person, and I'm really glad that we were able to pull this one together and make it happen. Yeah, super quick, super breezy, really, really fun chat. Stoked to share it with you. There's also a shout out to last week's guest, Sarah Thompson, within the first 10, 20 seconds of the interview itself. People that know Tomo and that know Al will pick up on it immediately. That's all I'm going to say. Won't keep you much longer, just a quick reminder, as per usual, that if you like the podcast and if you want to continue supporting the podcast in any way, shape, or form, there are plenty of ways you can do it, and all of them are super, super appreciated. You can get the word out on social media, tell your friends, maybe anyone, maybe you got some friends that are Alex Leahy fans, and they'd be interested in hearing a kind of more in-depth interview with her about her career thus far. That could be something we can arrange, absolutely. Come on down, check it out. You can also rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast over on Apple Podcasts on iTunes. So, yeah, or indeed wherever you get your podcasts, rating and reviewing and subscribing, etc., helping to boost the podcast to the right people. And, of course, if you have a couple of bucks lying around and you would like to support the podcast in that way, then you can become a patron over on Patreon. For as little as $1 a month, you can help support this podcast, help keep it free, help pay the bills, and help keep the lights on over at Bar Bands HQ. And if you'd like to do that, you can by heading over to patreon.com/barbands. That's patreon.com/barbands. Like I said, just a couple more weeks to go. So please stay tuned for some more awesome, awesome interviews coming up to round out the year. But for now, let's cross now to my chat with Alex Leahy. Hi everyone, I'm David James Young and all my friends are in bar bands. Today, I'd like to introduce you to my friend, Alex Leahy.
Hello.
How are you today here?
I'm good today here. I'm good. I'm good.
Shout out to previous guest of the show, Sarah Thompson,
yeah,
for that one.
Anyway. Thanks, Tomo.
Who started that one?
Tomo.
It's all her. I don't know if she got it off someone else or if she's just being a menace on her own account.
It's all her. She's a menace.
We're in Sydney. Alex has been here for the last few days or so with the promo for the new record and also kicking off the tour, which did last night in Newcastle.
Yep.
How do you think it went?
It was fun. It was like the first time that we'd played, like the production on the, like with touring now has completely changed since the EP. And so last night was like the first time that we actually did it. And I think overall it was good. I think overall it was good. I think there's definitely like some kinks that need to be ironed out and you know, a few things are going back to the drawing board. But like, I think from the way that the crowd responded to it and the way that we felt on stage and the fact that there were no, you know, major rotations, it was, a good vibe.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You're nailing the guitar throws at the end. That's pretty rock and roll.
I have to get it. The feedback for that is I need to throw it higher because apparently I'm throwing it too much like a rugby and it's just like going to impale him one day. Yeah.
I don't know. I reckon he could survive that.
He probably could survive anything. Yeah.
Oh, goodness me. So, Alex, we met for the first time, I think it was October last year when you were on tour with the John Steel Singers.
Yeah, right. Cool.
Yeah, which was... Really, nice tour.
Newtown Social Club, I remember.
Dearly Departed Newtown Social Club, that's right, yeah. That was kind of a sunrise, sunset thing. Like, you were just kind of properly starting out. The EP, I think, had just come out at that point. And they were winding down. It was the last proper national tour that they were doing.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a full circle kind of thing. How was that tour for you?
Awesome. It was so much fun. It was, like, the best first, like, tour, you know, like, sort of, like, party that I could have hoped for. Like, they were... really wonderful people, and so, like, I think it's because, like, you know, because maybe they were winding down, like, they were so open, and, like, there was no ego, and there was no, like, everyone was just, like, there to have a really good time, and the spirit was really high, and they were so encouraging of me and of my band and all that sort of stuff, and it was just, like, yeah, a really wonderful way to start. And I think, like, when you work with people like that, you sort of take that on with your own, like, the way that you treat other people. And as we've moved forward and been, you know, taking bands on the road ourselves, like, that's, you know, we want to be those guys and be super friendly and personable and open. Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
So, I begin these by talking about the initial interest in music, specifically where it changed from being something that maybe you were listening to on the radio or watching on TV or something, to having a moment where it's just like, oh, that's what I want to do. Like, I want to play music, I want to sing, I want to be in a band, whatever. Was there kind of a moment for that for you, like, in your childhood? Like, how did music kind of factor into your childhood?
Like, I mean, okay, so I was always playing music my entire life, like, as a child. And, you know, doing, like, I started doing, like, music lessons, like, when I was, like, 4 or 5 or whatever.
Oh, right, like, guitar lessons, piano lessons?
Recorder lessons.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah, now we're talking.
How European of me. But, I was playing, like, doing that, and... I always loved playing music, and it was never, like, a chore or something that I had to, like, think about doing. It was always, like, yeah, this is, like, a given part of my life.
Yeah.
I think that the idea of, like, you know, playing in a band or, like, writing songs or, you know, when you listen to recorded music, like, that was still such a fantasy to me.
Yeah.
Until I started writing songs.
Yeah.
And that was when I was about 13 or 14, and I was, like, teaching myself guitar and sort of learning how to write songs by learning how to play guitar and learning how to play guitar by writing songs, sort of thing. And that was when it was sort of like things seem attainable.
Yeah.
And it's like something that I'm interested in exploring. Yeah.
Was there anything like musically in particular that made it kind of seem attainable? Like, did you have any kind of like posters up on the wall or like albums you were listening to heaps or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, like, I loved like my favorite band through high school was the Yeah. Like,
oh,
like the best. And that was like, but still, like, there's something so unattainable about Karen O.
Those performances. The single leather glove.
Yeah, like, those performances are just out of control, and you know, and they exist in that, like, ether, and, like, are somewhat supposed to be left there. I don't know, like, I feel like I always give, like, a massive, like, massive due credit to Missy Higgins, like, especially in the context of being, like, a young Australian woman, you know, finding their way around the guitar and wanting to express themselves with that. Like, she really... you know, and not really knowing what, you know, what my voice was supposed to sound like, you know, like, I think she really paved the way for allowing, you know, young women to sort of be themselves through music and you know, pave the way for, you know, the Sarah Blascos and Courtney Barnetts of the world and stuff like that. 100%. Yeah,
100%. Totally. Yeah. When was the first time that you performed live? Do you remember?
Like, the first time I sang? Like, I did this thing when I was in Year 9 at school where you, like, go away for a term. You, like, board for a term.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I like, formed a band there and, like, was singing some of my songs for the very first time. And that was when I was, like, became, like, really, like, encaptured by, the idea of songwriting and that sort of thing. Yeah.
That's awesome. Where were you boarding to?
There was a country town outside of Ballarat called Clunes.
Okay.
Yeah. And, so I was there for, like, 8 weeks. And, yeah, I mean, it's hardly boarding, but, like, it was really fun. And yeah, they had like a shit hot music program, and I just got really into that. And it really like leaned away from the sort of like organized like music of playing in like the big band or the orchestra or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure. Do you still keep in touch with that original band? Like, or are they all long gone?
No, they're long gone.
Ah, damn.
Nah, yeah. Nah, I hope they're doing well.
Ships in the night.
Yeah, I don't think any of them are playing music, but yeah. Don't really have much to do with any of them, yeah.
Yeah. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Melbourne.
Right, so like in the city?
I'm a city slicker. Yeah, no, I grew up in Albert Park, which is just outside of St Kilda.
Right, yeah.
So yeah, little like sort of inner south, yeah, kid.
So it's pretty easy to... like get access to music pretty early on.
Yeah. It was really easy. I mean, like, I don't feel like my city council did, like, I feel like there's a lot of incentive at the moment for local council to really engage like young people in making music and putting on gigs and all that sort of thing, and there's a lot of funding available for it, and unfortunately mine kind of didn't follow through on that. But you know, I feel that like I was really lucky to go to a school that really fostered the arts, and you know, I was able to get a lot of opportunities out of that, and you know, the opportunity to perform and to learn and to play with other people. So yeah, I was always I've been very fortunate. You know, playing music is a privilege. Yeah, and I've been very lucky to have it sort of handed to me, or at least within my reach. Yeah,
sure. Yeah. So what happens after high school? Like, are you always kind of like writing songs and doing your own stuff on the side at that point?
After high school, like at the tail end of high school, I started a band with my best friend called Animo, and we played around Melbourne for years. Like, and like, I was writing songs for the band, and it was very much a collaborative sort of project. But it was just really fun to be working with friends and playing music with a bunch of people that I was in high school with.
Yeah,
and so we played around Melbourne for years and years and years. And although I was also studying music at university for a part of that time, I really feel that I learned so much more, like on the ground, like managing and performing in this band, and like learning how gigs worked, and meeting people, and writing. You know, average songs, and writing a couple of okay songs, and you know, like, and being fine with that, and without that sort of experience, like, there's no way I would be here. And I think it just goes to show that, like, you know, to formally learn music is, you know, it's a wonderful thing if you want to do it, but not necessarily conducive to, you know, real world practice.
Yeah, it's not the be all and end all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what can you tell us about that band? Like, how did it come about initially?
Well, Ollie, who's my mate, and I were played saxophone in the big band together.
Right.
And we knew that if we didn't, like, basically incentivize ourselves, that we'd never play together again. And it was, like, such a core part of our friendship. And so we decided to start this band with five other people out of the band. So it was, like, a seven-piece kind of collective sort of thing. Yeah, we released, like, two EPs and a couple of singles, and did a few, like, East Coast runs, but played in Melbourne mostly, and did, heaps. It was, like, we were pop funk soul kind of band.
Right, so there was like horns and stuff.
Yeah, it was a pop band with a horn section essentially.
Nice.
And I was playing saxophone and singing, and we got to do some really cool shows. We a couple of tours ago, we were opening for the Cat Empire, which was like,
no shit.
Yeah, which was like for that band was like the echelon.
Yeah. Fucking
And that kind of gives you an idea of what the music was sort of like. Yeah, so very different to what I do.
Right, yeah. And how old were you when all this was happening?
So Animo started when I was 18, and like we were doing, I mean, to use the Cat Empire shows as an example, as like the, you know, the point, like we were doing that when I was like 22.
Yeah. Fuck, that's a lot to take in at such an age as well.
It was really cool. It was really special, and like, ironically, like, that connection to the Cat Empire encouraged me to explore certain things that have led to me to just, you know, writing songs myself and performing them under my own name. Yeah.
I mean, what do you remember about those first few tours in particular? Like, you know, that's a massive thing for someone just out of high school to be taking on.
Yeah, I mean, like, a lot of time on the Hume. That's for sure. And a lot of, like, yeah, I think, like, when you're touring, you know, like that for, you know, that time, you learn how to compromise, and you learn that touring isn't always fun. Like, you know, it's not always fun and games, and it's a lot of hard work, and it's a lot of managing relationships, and it's a lot of managing yourself and looking after yourself, and I think it's a reality check when you really start from the bottom, as I myself and most musicians have. Like,
sure.
You come to appreciate the, you know, when you get to stay in hotels and that sort of stuff.
Totally. Yeah. And, yeah, is it a kind of thing where that was kind of like set the foundations for like what you do later on, like touring wise, like you know what to do now, like as opposed to back then where it's just like, yeah, we'll go wherever, do whatever, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Like, yeah, like pacing yourself and you know, knowing when not to, you know, drive overnight and, you know, like, yeah, all that sort of stuff. Like, I think, you know, at the time during that band, like, I know, like, I was just so desperate to get us out there and to play shows and, you know, and I still am now with this, but I think it's more like, okay, like, I want to be doing this for the rest of my life. Like, I don't want to burn myself out or, yeah, you know, sure, all that sort of thing. Like, I need to, you know, take, you know, good care of myself and not drink so much and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Was it getting pretty, like, debaucherous towards the end?
No, it's just, like, it's not even about debauchery. It's just, like, you know, you have, like, a few big nights out and all of a sudden you get a cold.
Oh,
like, you
sure,
know, it's
yeah,
like, it's just, like, oh, it's shit. Like, yeah, it's like shit like that. Yeah, yeah.
Well, at what point did that kind of run its course? Like, was it the kind of thing where you were, like, losing interest in that kind of music? Or, like, you were kind of more drawn to doing stuff on your own accord? Like, what kind of happened there?
I think I was just, like, really wanted to explore my own, like, songwriting voice without sort of, like, being, I guess, obligated to have other people's, like, you know, to compromise for others, basically.
Yeah,
yeah, like, I felt like I just started feeling like I really had, like, things that I wanted to say and that I needed to be the one to sing it and you
right,
know, and I and you know, and I yeah, I sort of like it was almost like taking responsibility
right,
in a way.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I guess like that sort of started happening like maybe like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
When I really got into songwriting and like the power of it and the way that it makes me feel. Like, you know, it was like, you know, that penny drop moment. It's like, okay, like, is this something I need to do?
Yeah.
You know, some people go to a therapist. Some people, you know, I don't know, do drugs. Like, yeah. I need to write, like, I write songs. Like, that's how I, like, get it out of my system.
Sure, yeah.
But, yeah, so I guess, like, that was the clincher.
Was it acrimonious at the end at all? Like, are you
well,
still
the,
in touch
the band
with
never ended.
Guys?
Like, the band, we did a show, like, last year in July in Melbourne.
Yeah, right.
Like, just after I did Splendor, I think it was. And it never ended. It was more just, like, I was like, oh, I'm going to, like, explore doing this project, like, as well.
Yeah.
Because I just finished uni and I had
sure,
time and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
and then,
yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden it just, like, picked up. And it wasn't like, oh, well, I'm leaving you because it was just sort of like, I don't have time to rehearse. Like, I'm on, you know, like, it's sort of like that kind of thing. And I think the other dudes in the band, like, were sort of exploring different areas of their lives as well. And I think it was just a case of everyone being on, like, the same page and
yeah,
that sort of thing. Yeah.
So, like, kind of maybe, like, reducing it to, like, one show a year or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, like, Ol and I have definitely spoken about doing another show sometime soon, and I would, like, do it in a heartbeat. Like,
yeah?
I'd fucking love to. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you still have, like, a good connection with those songs, even though, you know, it's so many years ago, and you've obviously done a whole bunch of stuff on your own now.
Yeah, it's nostalgic.
Yeah,
yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. So at what point is the first, quote-unquote, Alex Leahy show?
Like, so what was it?
Like, the first kind of proper show that you did on your own? Like, were you always playing with a backing band, or did you kind of just start out like solo acoustic?
No, it was always a band project.
Yeah,
it was
yeah,
always
yeah,
going to be a band project. Like, that was like a bottom line for me. Yeah,
yeah, right.
And the first gig was in July, like 2 years back, so July 2015.
Yeah,
I got Animo actually got offered the gig and we couldn't do it, and I was like, I'll do it. And it was, I opened for Mojo Juju at the
Spiegel
Tent.
Oh, sure, yeah,
which was really fun.
Fuck, that's an incredible opening
yeah,
show.
Yeah, and that was our first.
A beautiful venue.
Yeah, it was really cool. And that was, like, the first one. And then I remember my first headliner was when I released a song called Airmail, like, around that time as well. We played the Old Bar. My friend Eilish Gilligan supported, who's now getting a bit of heat. Which
oh,
is really,
sure, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which is really beautiful. And, yeah, so it's nice. Everyone, you know, everyone crosses paths. So.
Yeah, totally, totally. I mean, at that point, did you kind of have any kind of loft your ambitions the same way you did with the previous project? Did you kind of see it going, like, to the level that it has? It was just like, or was it just kind of like, this is just a continuation of what I was doing before, you know, it's just like this thing that I'd be doing regardless?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think that, like, I think you just have to accept whatever happens, and, like, I wasn't going in with any, like, specific expectations or, you know, obviously, like, I had hopes and dreams of what would happen, and at the end of the day, like, all I want is just to make a living out of making music, and,
yeah,
you know, which I never thought would happen, and it did. So, like, it's, like, very humbling, but still, like, you know, I don't have any expectations as to what happens. I think you just I think one of the tricks, and, you know, this is a mantra that you take on tour as well, in a sort of more like, in a more of a like micro level.
Yeah.
But like, to speak like, you know, in macro terms, like, you just have to be present and like just be in the moment, and, you know, and that'll be what makes you happy. Yeah.
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 Was it kind of a weird thing to kind of have it come full circle as well? Like, having all these people being like, oh, here's this, you know, this new artist, this new up-and-coming artist, and you're just like, I've been here for a while, you know? Like, I've been doing this kind of stuff for a while.
Well, it's interesting. Like, I've actually found that Animo, like, this band has come up a lot with this album press.
Yeah, right.
Like, a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is cool. And I'm really glad that it's not just like, you came out of nowhere, what happened? And I'm like, well, like, this happened.
Who
like,
are you? What's
so it's
your
nice
deal?
So it's nice that people have obviously done their research, or, and, you know, it's always given, like, Animo this second, I don't know, like, life or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's like, yeah, it's funny that's been coming up. So it doesn't feel like, yeah, I still feel like I've been around the block.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally. Was there any kind of points, like, I guess, around the EP release, or, you know, playing, you know, bigger and bigger shows, that you kind of realised, like, oh, you know, like, this is actually kind of, you know, going places that perhaps you initially might not have anticipated, or, you know, kind of eclipsed what the previous band had done?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, for me, I mean, Animo never got played on the radio, for one.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
So that was, like, something that was different. I guess, like, the biggest thing for me, like, in terms of, it's like, oh, this is, like, a thing now.
Yeah.
Was probably when People Like Me got Best New Music on Pitchfork. And that
oh,
was,
yeah.
And that was, like, June last year, I think it was.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
And I was just like, oh. What? Like, this is, like. Yeah. I was basically like, I'm so under-resourced for this opportunity. But it was like, all right, like, I need to do something now. Like, I need to, like, the iron is hot, you know, it's time. And yeah, that was, like, the one thing that happened, and I was just like, I was just like, if I'm serious about this, like, I need to do it now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I
yeah.
can't put it off. Like, I need to do it now. I need to commit myself to it and, like, give it my entire being. Yeah.
Have you had much of a chance to, like, kind of make inroads from an international perspective yet, do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, we went to South by Southwest at the start of the year, which is great. And
yeah.
Had the opportunity to support Dean and Sarah in the UK at the start of the year
as
well.
Oh, of course, yeah, yeah,
which is
yeah.
really fun. So we've done a couple of trips, and I've also got a label overseas, and they were the ones who encouraged me to you know, explore doing an album around this time, and I'm really glad that they did, because it's been, I mean, it comes out tomorrow, but the whole, you know, the making of it and the press for it so far, and the reception that it's received, as far as I know, has been really wonderful, and it's been an incredibly validating experience. And so, yeah, like, I mean, Australia's always home, and you know, will probably always be my biggest market, but, like, it's been really fun sort of exploring, you know, the world, in many ways.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's an incredible opportunity, and, you know, not many people get to do it, so I feel very fortunate.
For sure, yeah. For sure. And, yeah, like, I can only imagine it's surreal when anyone is, you know, like, kind of getting the word out there, you know, Tegan and Sarah, Smash Mouth just
yeah,
recently.
Yeah, Smash
Mouth,
sick.
That must have been fucking surreal.
That was pretty funny, yeah, that was cool. Oh, man, they're a very successful band. Like, you
right?
know, it's very, very nice to have a fan in the back like that. I hope
yeah.
I, you know, have the royalties that they do one day.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Would you, what do you think about a Smash Mouth Alex Leahy tour?
Oh, look, we'll talk. Yeah.
We'll have their people call your
yeah,
people.
Yeah,
we'll
yeah.
sort something
See,
out.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, as you mentioned, like, yesterday was the kickoff of, like, a pretty huge tour. So you're here and then you're heading back overseas again?
Yeah, so we finish up here on the 21st of October.
Uh-huh.
And then we fly directly from Perth to Europe. And then in, like, the second week of November, we fly to the States and finish up there in time to get home for Christmas and Falls Festival. And yeah, so we're on the road, like, I mean, if you include yesterday, like, 2 months and a week or something like that.
Holy
yeah.
shit,
so
yeah.
So it's a while. Yeah.
yeah. How are you feeling, like, kind of just at the beginning of that, like, going into something so, so huge?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, like, I've had to, like, think about it a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And prepare myself. And again, like, adjust those expectations or eliminate any expectation for that matter. And just, like, yeah, allow myself to go with the flow and make sure that I'm, you know, looking after my voice and I'm really conscious of, you know, my performance and the, you know, the way that I spend my time and that sort of thing. Yeah, and also, like, I did have a couple of months off before this week and like, really, like, letting myself have downtime is like something that I have to very much consciously do. So yeah.
Excellent.
Cool.
Yeah, that's unreal. I'm really, really stoked that it's all kind of, you know, coming together, and that, you know, like the record's out, you know, tomorrow. Like, that's kind of
it's insane.
Surreal thing. Hey.
Yeah, it's happening. Yeah, no, thanks so much for all the support over the years.
My absolute pleasure.
It's been wonderful.
Yeah, of course. No, absolutely. So before we get out of here, Alexandra, I have to ask you this. I ask this of all of my guests.
Yes.
It is now your turn.
Okay.
I want to know about the best and worst shows that you have played in your entire life.
Ah, all right. The worst show I've ever played was... actually, it never happened because...
Oh!
I remember these people, like, hosted this, like, part... They wanted to put on this show in, like, a scout hall in Melbourne.
Right.
And this was when I was with Animo.
Yeah.
And we got there. And literally the only people there were the people putting the show on. It was, like, and there were, like, four of them or something.
Yeah.
And we were, like, we will, like, keep the money and, like, because obviously, like, because they were, like, obviously losing heaps of money, and we're, like, keep the money and let's just, like, call it.
Yeah.
And so we went out the back and had a sausage sizzle instead.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's
everyone was just felt very sorry for themselves, and it was like, let's just, like, leave it.
Yeah.
And the best show, there was a couple of shows at Big Sound last year that were really wonderful, and it's like there's sort of like adrenaline situations that are really, really great.
Mm-hmm.
Another show that I remember really fondly was the first show that we played in LA at the start of the year.
Oh,
just
wow.
Because it was like,
what was that?
It was at the Echo.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And it was just like, I don't know, very surreal, and like I felt like I'd really achieved something. It's hard to name one. Like, you're just so in the moment that you just don't, like, I don't think I've ever come off stage and been like, that's been the best show we've ever played, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it's just been like, that was like, that made me feel so good.
Yeah.
And like, and that's generally the feeling that I get when I get off stage, like, is like that made me feel really wonderful, and like I want to do it again.
Yeah.
And like, and that's like, you know, I hope that I always have that feeling when I go on and come off stage. But actually, to be honest, like, Splendor was a fucking great show. Like,
oh,
that was like
yeah.
That was a really big deal for me, and it was really wonderful. And it was like such a special thing to do.
Totally.
Yeah.
Unreal. Fucking A. Alex, you have an album. It's, by the time this comes out, it is out now.
Yay.
What's it called?
It's called I Love You Like a Brother.
Where can we get it?
You can get it anywhere. You can stream it on Spotify, you can iTunes, you can buy it at your local record store, which you should do.
Yes.
Just get it. Get it.
Get amongst it. Perfect. Alex, thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate it.
My pleasure.
I'm David Jones-Young, and all my friends.